no big deal. I mean, you know,
okay,
whatever. We'll pick up the sound. But so traveling alone on the train versus traveling in pairs. You've only ever traveled alone.
I've pretty much only traveled alone. I've gone up to Seattle and back once with somebody.
Okay.
Yeah. That's Seattle. It's a little different.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you know what did you notice as a difference between those two trips? Like,
well, I mean, the biggest difference is that I'm talking with someone. So anytime I'm bored, I'm there. I have my friend to talk to, And but we sat with some other people when we ate, and we did this Coast Starlight up to Seattle when we went as a couple. And so I think I what I loved about that was you get to share things like the scenery or the funny people with someone else.
You get to snicker together at like whoever's in front of you or whatever.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And you have that benefit of like if you're not going to have a crazy person sit next to you, you know, you're going to sit next to your partner or your friend or whatever.
Yeah.
Which helps.
Which is really nice. Like, yeah. I like that a lot.
Because I actually, as much as I love socializing with people away from the car, like, I don't have much luck socializing with people who end up sitting next to me.
Yeah. I feel like you have to be a special kind of person for that to work. And I don't know what it is. Like, I'm not sure if it's my own personality. Like, I just kind of shut down and I don't have a lot of room for small talk. Or what?
Well, it's like you're almost like back in your house because they turn off, they close the curtains at night, and
yeah.
it's very quiet back there, whereas the lounge car is very social.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you hang out in the lounge car the whole time, like, you're bound to meet a bunch of folks.
Yeah.
Because you can't own one of those tables like to yourself and expect no one else to sit next to you. So
people try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people are like, it ever happened to you? Like, people are just unhappy. Like, if you show up, you're like, hey, can I sit here? And they're like, I guess.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then they get up like a few minutes later, and then yeah, and then sometimes Amtrak will put a thing like only multiple people can sit here because they don't want one person like occupying a whole table.
Yeah.
But it's fun to watch. I mean, because it's also fun when you're like, you start to see people become this sort of society on train, like, who's the annoying person? Who's the, who's the outcast? And I'm the kind of person who I'm really shy for the first few hours, and then like I open up and then I become the very talkative one. So, so there's that. There's like, there's friendships that form, friendships that fall apart. I made friends with this couple on this last trip home and on the way back, and they made friends with me, and they made friends with this other dude and maybe a couple other people, and they sort of like broke up on the trip. Like, they got, I don't know if they broke up, but they had a big fight. The one woman was like jealous of the other woman for flirting with a dude, and like, it was just strange dynamic. And then the first one went, and I'd made friends with someone else, and so the one who had supposedly been flirting just came and complained about what it's like to, it was like high school's like, there's all these dynamics going on. So yeah, it's unique.
Yeah.
But you've traveled with your wife.
Right, right. Yeah. And most of my travel has actually been, so this is the first, I think that's what she was saying upstairs, this is the first year where, like, our Christmas breaks with our jobs haven't lined up exactly. So I get off, like, the week before, so I'm just going to, like, hang around here and do work. We'll travel out to Boston, I guess, like, right before Christmas Eve or something. Mm. And then I'll go back because I have to be back at work, like, a couple days after New Year's, or, like, the day after New Year's. So I'm going to be taking the train back by myself, and that'll be the first time I've done a trip that long on my own. Because I've done back and forth between Tacoma, is where my family lives. Mm. Have you ever been to Tacoma?
I have not.
You haven't? Okay. We're going to have to get you up there sometime to look around.
You should.
But yeah, I've done that one on my own like hundreds of times. Not literally hundreds, but like, it just feels like I would do it like several times a year, every year for the past five or six or something like that. So.
Are there regulars? Like, do you notice? Like,
I got to know the conductors.
Oh yeah.
And actually, I'm trying to remember which train it was on. I'm pretty sure for our trip on the Coast Starlight, we bumped into a guy who used to be conducting on the Amtrak Cascades. And he had like, it was the guy who talked about Lake Odell on our trip that last year from Klamath to Portland. You were probably asleep by then.
Or comatose.
Or drinking Pedialyte.
Yeah.
man, that was a tough trip.
Oh,
for you.
Gosh,
that was,
yeah,
I felt so bad because that's like the first time you had ridden Amtrak in a long time, right? And it wasn't it was the train's fault.
Since
it
was, I was living in Pittsburgh,
you had the virus in the gut,
it just became my turn to exercise everything out of my stomach, and
yeah
and then a few other demons coming up from hell.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, I don't know, like, at one point, I just couldn't believe there was still things inside me.
Right, like, how you can know? I still have things to expel?
Right.
I can't even imagine that. Like, you had to throw up in an Amtrak bathroom.
Oh, yeah. I never...
Did you just camp out?
I never went anywhere except for my seat and the Amtrak bathroom. Oh. Like,
I up and down the stairs a couple times.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That was...
I did not get to enjoy the dining car or the observation deck or
anything.
And
then the guy that was sitting next to you was like, here, you need a butterscotch mint.
Right.
It doesn't do anything like for your breath, really.
It made it, like, yeah, so he's like, I got to level with you. You know, your breath smells terrible. Here, have this. And he gives me this butterscotch. And, like, I'm trying to, like, be polite, so I eat it. Which, of course, the sugar's, like, irritates all that again, like, 5 minutes later, excusing myself. And...
See a total stranger? Like,
yeah.
Sorry, I'm kind of throwing up all the time.
Yeah.
So I guess I've done 5 times on that Coast Starlight route, and I think 4 of them have been great trips. One was pretty miserable.
So what happened on the bad one?
I think it was just like annoying people. People weren't really talking, and like it was late. It was actually the one where I met that guy Miles. I mean, there was nothing wrong with him, but it was just that like, I mean, he was great, but everything else was like annoying because we were sat down at that, like, you know, the spot right at the top of the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Like high traffic.
The high traffic, and then the light from the staircase was right on us, so there was no time to, like, shut that off.
I guess if Miles is holding court on the train, like, that's a good place for him to sit.
Well, he didn't intend to, yeah, I mean, he was as annoyed with the light as I was. He was kind of a grumpy old man, too.
Okay.
Like, yeah, he was friendly, but grumpy at the same time somehow. It was a good place for that, and that's how everyone saw him when they got off the train to go home, but they'd all met him at, like, every smoke break. And, like,
yeah.
Yeah, I do it again, though. I mean, I actually, it is long, and I don't know how well I answered your question of, like, why, you know, why I would do it. But I do notice that it's long.
Right.
But I think it just takes preparation, which is weird. Like, you don't really prepare to fly or anything.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you should, but most people don't. Like, flying is kind of seen as, like, the... Maybe flying and airports are, like... This is the never place or like the no place that like we just kind of try and forget exists.
Oh,
like we're not going to really think about the time we spent at the airport. We're not going to think about the time we spent in the metal tube.
Always the worst time of my life.
Yeah. Cause like,
it's
like
that flight was terrible.
No fun. So you just like make it as forgettable as possible. And you don't really need to prepare because you're going to expunge it from your memory as soon as you're off. As opposed to the train, like you can't like just pretend the train trip didn't happen.
Right.
Because
you can't erase on the train 20 for 3 hours out of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
You transition though. I mean, like you know you're moving when you're on the train.
Right.
When you're on a plane, you're just like you don't know you're moving
unless you hit turbulence, and then you're like, oh, I might die. So yeah.
I wonder what the comparative stats are train and airplane. I wouldn't be surprised if there's actually more in terms of like
safety stats. Or?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The train's probably. I mean, there's not that many train derailments. They happen.
Yeah, here and again. But I can't think of the last time.
But then again, if a train derails, you're not guaranteed to die. Whereas if an airplane crashes, you're probably going to die.
Right, right. Unless it's a water landing or something. But even then, like, it can't be from that high up.
Yeah.
No.
So, yeah. The last time I was on the train was actually, well, no, that's not correct. The last time I came home from Boston on the train, we were going through somewhere in Minneapolis, I think, and... it was shortly after either Milwaukee or Minneapolis. We had pulled out and we felt this thing, like kind of this shockwave ripple through the train. And then they put on the brakes and like it smelled like brakes because they were doing an emergency stop. And it turns out some like auto parts distributor had like stopped on the tracks.
Oh wow.
And his pickup truck was like right in front of the locomotive.
Oh,
and
man.
The train just like plowed right into him. And
oh, wow.
I followed it on the news like after I got home because I wasn't sure what had happened and like we didn't get the full explanation. I kind of filtered through passengers and like small announcements from the train, I was like, you know, what happened? Who did we hit? That sort of thing. So I followed that on news when I got home. Basically, this guy was like delivering auto parts. This is his job, is what he does. And still not clear if like he intentionally, like if he was done with life and he parked his truck there, mm-hmm. or if he thought he could make it before the train got there and tried to gun it across the tracks and didn't make it. But we ended up pushing him like from one crossing to like, you know, another crossing a mile down the tracks or something like that. And so, yeah, so that happened. I don't know how, I don't know statistically how often that happens. So I'm very curious.
That's a story that this guy told me, the other night. Was their train had hit someone.
Wow.
And someone who specifically jumped in front of the train.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. I would imagine they would have to deal with that a fair amount.
Yeah.
Cause like, it's one of the more convenient ways to commit suicide. Like, I don't know. Yeah,
I mean, I've heard of it happening. So
right,
yeah,
it right.
happens probably. If you know, yeah, we're good. And there really is nothing that to block it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I find it amazing. This is totally off the subject, but you know, you were saying about the airplane and it's this never land. But we also think that way about trains. I mean, we talk about it like it's this novelty to ride the train,
right? But right. Like, but a lot of it is kind of freedable space.
But it's like we've always been like riding the trains, and you can still ride the train, and you know. Someone's on a train right now traveling somewhere.
You know, they might be listening to this.
Might be listening to this podcast.
Listening on a, yeah. Traveling on a train, yeah.
Listening to an old Sprocket podcast.
Right.
It's, you know, it's fun. Yeah, I feel like there is, you know, there's just so many people that can be characters. I met this woman who was traveling around the United States. She was Dutch, and her dad is a Northwest Airlines pilot, and she boarded the plane with him. He flew her to the States so she could go to Potter World in Florida, Harry Potter World.
Really?
And all she did was read Harry Potter books and talk about Harry Potter and how she was in like, she was in the beta test for like the online, like the massively multiplayer online Harry Potter thing.
Wow.
I don't know what it's called. Pottermore or something like that.
Pottermore.
And I was like talking to her about what she was reading, and she's like, oh, well, it's Harry Potter fan fiction. And it was just like,
wow.
You can't help but be like disappointed by that experience when you finally get there, I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah, if she's built it up like
that. I don't know. She sounded excited about it. Like she was on her post. She was on like the, she was still riding the crest of that wave. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
She was in the U.S. She was like now traveling the U.S. after going to Potter.
Oh, North. I see.
Yeah.
And
okay.
She seemed into it, but I'm like, that, but that's the kind of people you meet. Like every mm-hmm. single person I met. So I must seem that way too, you know? I mean,
right.
This guy Miles, you know, I met someone who was traveling to San Francisco to start work as a coyote specialist. You know,
like border crossing stuff.
An urban. Oh. Like she studies urban coyotes.
Oh, like okay. Actual coyotes.
Like actual coyotes in urban environments.
Okay. You know? The animal. right.
Okay.
This is funny. My mind went there too. Okay. That'd be the place to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
But you know. So I guess, yeah, everybody has a story.
Right, right.
I wonder how many people make up their stories.
If you're kind of just creating a persona to give you something to think about because you're on the train.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Like how many...
I had never considered that possibility. So that's fascinating.
I met a woman on this last trip who described herself as a beauty school dropout. And she was telling me stories of how she'd ended up dropping out, not just out of high school, but out of beauty school.
Does that mean that she like was too good looking for beauty school, or she was like not?
It meant she was so bad at school she couldn't even get through beauty school.
Okay.
And you know, she was putting on this like gold dust like makeup on the train as it like went around, and she had a very unique name. I'm not going to say the name just because
Astrid.
Yeah, Astrid
or whatever.
It was a very distinct name, and she had all these stories about getting in fights at beauty school and in high school here in Portland. And
wow! All
right, what power to you? You know?
Yeah. The one thing we discovered on our trip, because we took after the bike trip that we took this summer, we were in Grand Junction, Colorado, as the end point. And we took that to Sacramento, okay. And then from Sacramento back up to Portland. On the way to Sacramento, we met this girl who was like some freewheeling hippie person sort of thing. But she showed us the secret of when you're standing in the like entrance exit area next to the bathrooms.
Oh, okay.
You can actually swing those windows open.
Whoa.
And there's no alarm that goes off or anything like that. And they don't want you to have them open. Like, yeah. You're not supposed to do that. But if you, like, are dying for some fresh air, especially at night, and you know, you're a long ways between stops, you can step down there, open the window up, don't stick your hand or your head out, because, like, you don't know what's coming down the pipe.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a decent way to get some fresh air. So,
yeah. I always like the kids, too. You know, there's always, like, little kids that are super excited to be riding the train.
Right, yeah.
And I love that kids are still... I also like when you're riding... I meant to say this on the air, but, like, when you're riding through a town, and everyone stops and waves at you.
Yeah, kids
and adults.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Like, they love it. They're, like, so thrilled to see a train. It's like... It's probably... And that's probably how it's been for the 200 years we've had trains, or 150 years, you know? Like,
hey, it's that special time when people come through town.
There's an image that'll stick with me of a woman who was, I don't know anything about it. I was going through someplace in Northern California, and it was like 7 a.m, and this woman's just out on her back step in a robe, having a smoke and a cup of coffee, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like it was almost like a Dorothea Lange, like, photograph, you know, like, because she looked kind of frazzled. It was like that, you know, like that woman with the, and I'm like, you know, for me, it was like this sight. Like, when I'm going through, this was this beautiful thing to see, traveling through, is just this person having her morning coffee. For her, it's like, God, it's that fucking 7:15 train again that's rattled to my house, you know?
Damn those people and their transport. Yeah. Yeah, that's... I love the... I was downtown one time, I think, and just, like, waiting for the train to pass by, and standing out there with my hand up, like, you guys are awesome. I respect you. That sort of thing.
Do you so you took your bike on it? How is that? I feel people have good things to say about taking their bikes on Amtrak, but
on the Cascades line, it's really great.
Okay,
you can roll it on. They've got hooks kind of like the Max.
Okay,
Like, you don't hang it up yourself, but you hand it to the baggage car attendant and they put it up in place.
Oh, cool.
And a lot of times I've actually left like a sleeping bag or something else tied to the frame, you know, because like you're not supposed to have a bunch of bags when you go on the train. I always have my four panniers, but. But yeah, you can tie like extra things to the frame of the bike, and usually they're okay with it. If you're not on the Cascades line, I'm pretty sure that's the only one in the U.S. that has car or a bike accommodations. Everything else,
you gotta have a box.
There might be something on the East Coast somewhere, but I don't remember if there is. But yeah, everything else has to be boxed. The boxes cost $15, I think, and there's a $5 surcharge. $5 surcharge is for like whenever you put a bike on the train.
Gotcha.
So that has to be done. But,
and often you can find a used box.
Yeah, like we got free used boxes at the Grand Junction station because somebody had showed up that day on bikes and there were two boxes just sitting around. So we got those for free. So you can be, you know, I think Portland probably almost always has a free bike box around.
You just stuff your bike in the box? Or...
Well, you have to have a pedal wrench so you can take the pedals off. And that's something that I don't think most train stations keep that on hand. And depending on your bike, you might or might not have the tool, or you might have to get a special tool.
You got to take the bars off, too.
Yeah, and either take the bars off or at least rotate them around so it fits in the box. But usually, yeah, taking them off.
This is an argument for more cities having bike share right at the train station.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Spinlister?
No.
That's something that just started. It's kind of like Get Around, which is the private car rental, like you own.
Yeah,
a car.
I was on when I went, before I sold my car. I was renting my car out. On that.
Yeah, so Spinlister is like Get Around for bicycles.
Oh, cool.
Basically, you look at the city, and I think at this point you have to have a bike on the system to rent a bike from the system. But
that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, no big thing. And then like wherever you go, you just say, "Hey, I'd like to, you know, rent this bike for like say $10, $15, $18 a day." I think they have weekly rates as well, and so
you must have to return the bike to the same spot you get it.
Like, I would imagine or at least meet up with the person who owns the bike and say, "Here's your stuff."
Well, you probably have to get the key to the lock or whatever.
Because
I've done Get Around, and I've done the housing Airbnb too.
Oh yeah, see, those are both things I haven't tried yet, but I'm actually pretty stoked about.
I haven't done Get Around as a driver.
Okay. But you've rented your car to other people.
Yeah, and actually only two people rented my car. It was really not worth it. And then after it started, and then no one's ever come back.
Yeah.
But I've done Airbnb as a guest, and that's amazing. My friends and I went down for a wedding in downtown LA. Got an awesome place for really low cost.
Yeah.
And especially if you're going with friends to something like that, like a wedding where you're going to be there, you can split a whole apartment, you know. It's
right.
It's great.
Yeah, and it takes out the element of what are the, like couch surfing or some other thing where like you have to like meet other strangers and hang out with them. Sometimes you want that experience. Exactly. Sometimes you don't.
And Airbnb a lot they have a version where you can do that. You can rent a room in someone's house or you can rent a couch. But
I
often don't want that. And they can, you know, like vet you. They can decide if they're willing to rent your place to you. Because people have had things happen.
But, right.
Yeah. I got really nervous about that with my car. Like, you know, I was like, what's going to happen if some stranger drives my car?
They, like, mess it up. And you
actually, all that happened was the person gave me, like, chocolate. It was really gross. It was, like, fake. It was fake. And they offered me, like, it was so weird. The woman who rented my car, she wanted to go. She was, like, it was so weird. Like, she wanted to take it to go to the grocery store. And then buy a bunch of stuff. Like, she lived in, like, I think, like, an assisted living place. And she brought her daughter. And they show up. They get in my car and they come back and they have a cab call to my house so they can go from my house to the place.
Uh-huh.
But they just take all of the grocery bags, put them in the cab, and then go out. And then she stops and she gets beer and they're having beer. They're not driving my car drunk, but they open a beer once they get into the cab. I mean, maybe they did. I don't know, but I don't think they did.
Yeah.
Because they're new six packs. And apparently where they're going, they're not allowed to drink.
So they're just like shotgunning a six pack.
They're like, and they're like, here, have one. Like, I was like, sure. But the question remains, if they got the cab for my, why didn't they just get the cab in the first place?
Right.
Like, just like go to the grocery store. So I'm sure they went and did something else, you know?
Yeah. Wait, so were they drinking like when they got into the cab or?
Like they opened beers up when they got in the cab or something. I don't know exactly what the story, well, I can't remember exactly what it was. Whatever it was, I was comfortable enough that like they were clear that they hadn't.
Yeah.
You know? It was a bit of a nerve wracking, and then they left. Like they're like, we left you something in the glove box, and I looked. And it was like around Valentine's Day, and it was this like Valentine's bear, like it was chocolate, but it was like all like artificial ingredients.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's like the really fake chocolate.
Yeah, it was really I ate it anyway, but
of course,
why not?
So it could be good.
Yeah.
When I did Airbnb, the person had a cat and the cat went nuts. And the cat broke a vase while we were there. And like, we were like all freaked out. Like, shit, is she going to blame us for breaking the vase? But then I told her and she's like, yeah, I thought that
might happen. Cat does stuff like that. Yeah. I was thinking of Airbnb. Like, we were talking about this when Brandon and I did the 100th episode last weekend. Basically, like, there's one 10-15 blocks from here. And how great would it be to rent somebody else's apartment like in your neighborhood? Yeah. And just like hang out there, or like if you're co-housing, like we're co-housing, like sometimes like maybe you just want to like get away.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Airbnb, you've got your own apartment for the night or whatever.
This place in LA had a rooftop hot tub and stuff like that, so maybe
that's
a place
the
that
thing
has a nice
there's so much variety. Yeah, I got to try this sometime.
Vacation in your own town.
Yeah, exactly. Act like a stranger.
I mean, you live out here. Why not
buy
go,
a pack
like,
of smokes?
Get a place in the Pearl and like,
yeah,
like find out what it's like to be a yuppie. Like.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, because I've never had that experience. As long as I've lived in Portland, I moved here in 2007. I mean, I've lived in the area, a lot of time in Vancouver, but in the area for 12 years. But I've never lived on Hawthorne like I always wanted to.
Yeah.
I've never lived in the Pearl. Like, I'm not sure if I wanted to or not, but, but I haven't done it. But yeah. Like, get that experience. Just kind of like, it's not, I was going to say live vicariously, but it's like you're there. So I don't know what you call that.
Semi-cariously?
Semi-cariously.
You're still living vicariously. Like, you're living kind of like.
Yeah. You're living a life that's not yours or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I had to move. Well, I thought I was going to have to move recently. And then it turns out my landlord was just a flake and decided I didn't have to move. But. and
another thing I know from the podcast,
which
makes me feel creepy.
No, that's right. And I don't know if I, you know, it's funny because that last one I recorded, the food podcast, I don't know if we got to the point where, like, I don't remember if I mentioned it in that last one. And it turned out that the guy, like, was like, no, you don't have to move. Like, he called me back or one day he called me to, like, tell me he wanted to work on the furnace. And I was like, okay, great. That's fine. But, you know, I'm moving. And he's like, really? I was like, yeah, you told me that in July. I had to find a new place. You wanted to renovate. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
I think I forgot when you asked me where to find me. I don't think I said anything about the podcast, but
it's okay. We talked about it earlier in the show, so right. Yeah, right. we're set.
Yeah. So I had kind of started to think about that, like, what other neighborhoods would I live in Portland? Besides, I live in Mississippi right now.
Oh, okay.
So,
That's kind of a fun place.
It's fine. I've lived in the same place for
one of the newer developments or one of the older?
No, I live in a house.
Okay, yeah. Oh, sure, because you have the garden and everything. Yeah, that's exactly. Right, yeah.
But, and like the first of those newer developments was opening right when I moved in. The Tupelo Alley one.
Because that's still relatively new, like that whole area up there.
Yeah.
Is pretty, like you and I, we went to the show up at Mississippi Studios and had the Cup and Saucer, and that was like that the first time I'd ever been in the Cup and Saucer.
Yeah.
Doesn't even feel like the Cup and Saucer because like it's all shiny.
I don't, there's so many other great breakfast options.
There. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's that every summer. So I've been there since January 2010, and every summer has been getting a little bit more like bridge and tunnel-y.
Mm-hmm.
And so this last summer, it's just like I barely went out in my own neighborhood. Because it was just like people like were just like going out to, basically they like go to Prost and the food carts and then like
and then wander drunk up and down,
yeah. Up and down the street. Yeah, exactly.
You can get that here without all the hipster culture.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know this area very well. I've been to El Pato Feliz a few times.
Oh yeah,
some of the best places. Cool.
Mexican food. Yeah.
They're and don't they have refillable horchata?
Maybe not. I'm reluctant to say yes. Amigos del
Sol has a refillable
horchata. Yeah, yeah.
Which
there's wow. refillable.
And boy, yeah. But yeah, no, it's there's some cool stuff around here.
Yeah, I've never been to the New Copper Penny.
I've heard it's not worth going.
That's what I've heard too.
Wait, I've been to. They've got like five or six bars in there, and like none of them are ever like full. Like no one is ever there.
Wait, so the New Copper Penny isn't a bar in and of itself. It's a
well, it's like collection a restaurant and a bar and a club and a poker room and the private hall rental. Like,
okay,
it's just all this shit that's like mashed into one giant building. And like, because no one's ever there, except for like the club fills up at night.
Right.
I just assume it's a front for something. Like, there's something happening there. I don't. They know offer what it is, and
or did offer at one point on their marquee off track betting.
Right. I think
which already leads you to be a little weird. Yeah,
and I mean, it's not like that's illegal. It's just like, you know, I guess there's a certain thing that goes along with that.
Yeah.
The Eagle Eye Tavern is brand new. Used to be Riley's.
Yeah.
And that was like, it was just kind of a shithole bar. Now it's been bought by the person that owns the Lion's Eye Tavern over on 82nd Avenue. Both of which I think, like both of these now, used to be like rundown sorts of places that were bought and like kind of renovated. So they're still kind of dive bars, but they're like updated for like a new generation of divers. Yeah,
I love the soundtrack of the Eagle Eye.
Yeah, like, well, and I usually choose the soundtrack.
there's that, but like when they plug their own personal iPods, like when the bartender
it's like the Chili Peppers and stuff.
Yeah. Well, last time he was playing like Misfits and Sonic Youth. And,
oh, okay, that was way better.
You know,
when I was
okay, yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah,
I'm one of these inner Portland people who doesn't know there's an East Portland.
So. Well, man, there's so much going on in inner Portland that, like, yeah, if you don't. Like, if you don't live out here, there's no reason to
come out. Well, and especially, you know, once I actually have someone buying a car. Just, it's someone I know in Southern California is buying the car, and so they're flying up to get it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Until that happens, I still have it.
Like, it's almost going to stay in the family? Like, you'll see these people from time to time? And not quite.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. You might ride in it again.
I might ride in it again. Yeah. It's actually, I mean, so now I'm like, I think I'm even going to be more like I'm going to be in North Portland, or I mean I'll be in inner Portland and unless
pretty much exiled there. Yeah,
well, I'll be there unless I mean I take the max, you know, to a place like this or to like, you know, Beaverton or something like that. Like,
yeah,
you know, you have to think a lot more because they don't go that late, right? Like, they don't.
Well, it depends. Yeah, I mean, I with the party bus stuff that I've been doing, I usually get out after the max down. So that means I have to ride like all the way from where it's parked to here, which is a long ride. But I think it's usually the last bus on Hawthorne, the 14, I think that goes like at 1:30 or something like that. And I think that's the latest service in town.
Yeah.
Like the last max out to here leaves downtown at midnight.
We took that coming home from the Marlena show. And I think, I think we got home from downtown. We got home around 1:15.
Something like that, yeah.
So that would mean we would have to have left around 12:30.
Yeah.
12:45, maybe.
Yeah. So it's pretty early.
Yeah.
Especially compared to like any major, you know, like world class city that might have, you know, either overnight transit or like it runs at least until closing time.
You know, LA had that problem. Like the buses would go overnight. I have some great middle of the night bus rides in LA.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, some hilarious ones. actually, one gave me the sort of opening of my master's thesis because it's fantastic. But the subway would stop at like I think 12:30, maybe 1:00.
Okay.
But you know, closing time in California is like I think it's 2:30.
Okay. Yeah.
And so you'd have like a lot of you'd have a lot of like planning when getting back home. Like, are you going to take the bus back? Are you going to have to take a cab back from where you're going? And that'd be. But then they started recently doing Friday and Saturday nights. They do late night subway service. But otherwise. Yeah, it's you can't do it. But at least there's an overnight bus. Like,
yeah.
I can't believe there's no overnight bus. Didn't there used to be something here called the Owl or something?
Yeah, yeah. Night Owl service. And that was back like in the 80s or 70s. It's been a long time since they've operated Night Owl. But it used to be a thing in Portland. And now it's no longer.
I mean, I get why you wouldn't do it on every route, you know. But
yeah.
You got to do it on some like arterials or something like that. And in a town like this where everybody drinks and
everybody.
It would just benefit.
I mean, a town like that advertises drinking and mass transit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like they can go well together, but.
Yeah. I'm curious if there's something with like some cab lobby.
Or like, oh, that's a good point. Convinced,
like,
that.
I mean, I don't have anything to substantiate this, but like the only reason I could see that they wouldn't offer it, aside from Michael's, what is it, the unified theory of Portland that we're cheapskates, and, that,
I haven't heard
and that we're not going to pay, you know, if we don't have to, so we
yeah.
don't.
That's probably it.
That's what he says drives all kinds of projects in Portland. I believe him just because we kind of are. but the only other thing I could think would be that like there's something like the cabs may have some deal or either that or like they bought out TriMet or I don't know. But that would be the only thing I could think of that would be like why they haven't reinstated that.
Yeah, because I mean, living in Mississippi, for example, the number 4, like, you know, that's a good way to get downtown. And it goes a lot of places besides Mississippi, but it goes right up there. And, mm-hmm. and if you could have the 4 do that, you could have the 14 on Hawthorne, you know, you could do
right.
I don't know, but it might be the cab thing. I don't know.
It could also be that, like, it doesn't make sense to run buses from midnight until 2.
I think it's more of that, like...
And then just run, like, one bus at 2, you know, for all the people that need it then. Maybe it's just a logistical thing.
Yeah, you're never going to fill... I mean, you're going to have, like, 6 people on each of those buses. And you're going to be, like, you know, but you're going to be paying a driver his salary for...
Yeah.
For those 2 hours, yeah.
Yeah. The one thing, New Year's Eve...
Mm.
And I guess that's right. when the clock turns midnight, it's New Year's. But like TriMet runs late, and it runs free on those nights, just as kind of like a public safety sort of thing,
nice.
Which is cool.
Yeah,
I've heard a lot of people recently are doing they'll do car to go on the trip out, and then do a cab back.
Interesting.
They'll do like they go out drinking, they take their car to go to, you know, wherever they're going to go drinking, ditch the car to go,
right,
and then get the cab. That way, you're not paying for a round trip. Cab trip,
yeah.
Which, but I still don't see how that's much different than taking a bus and doing
exactly. See, I would take the bus.
That's what I've done,
and then use the car to go. Like once I've waited an appropriate amount before I'm safe to drive. But yeah.
I always wanted when you know I've never done this. I've never really needed to, but like there's those other things too. You know, where you get the like designated driver companies. You know, where they have the ride, I think it's
the
like
dude
on
like a blade, the scooter blade or whatever. The like some guy will come and meet you on a scooter, and then he'll fold the scooter up and drive.
Oh, I don't know about that. Oh. I know about the ones where they have like someone comes in, and like there's 2 people come in a car, they drop one person off,
okay,
and the one car follows you home.
Oh,
and then they pick up the person. And then
interesting,
It's like $15 anywhere in the city of Portland, which is
that's
good. It's better than a cab, and you get your own car back. You know, like.
Yeah, you don't have to go out the next day looking for wherever you parked it.
I even saw, I was looking on Craigslist, I saw a posting, I was like, that'd be kind of a fun job. Like,
yeah,
there it is. That's my next
You're gonna do it.
I'm applying.
And then Car to Go Wrangler, that one was, I think Michael tweeted that one.
Yeah.
Which apparently is just like moving cars to go. I think that's the proper pluralization.
That's right, because they've got like their thing where they want them in certain places, like right. the workday, and then...
Yeah. Oh. And sometimes when I'm out driving like the school bus back to where I park it, I see like the northern service boundary is Lombard.
Oh, yeah.
And there's always one just dropped off, like up there at Lombard. So I just like abandoned it on the very.
This is
edge
as far
of the
as I can go with this
exactly,
thing.
Exactly. Yeah, and then they like walk across.
We're walking
the
rest of the way.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I'll have to be a member. Become a member. I've never done it. I've ridden in a few other people's Car2Gos.
Dude, they're so great. I mean, we also got the electric drive version, which was so fun because like we took it out on the freeway, got it up to like 65 miles an hour. under electric power, you know, and it's so small, and like you can whip it in tight little circles because it's such a small wheelbase. Yeah.
That's what I picture it doing, is just doing this little like
yeah. I was really tempted to stop at a parking lot and just be like but did not.